Well, good morning, church. They're going to bring the house lights up so we can see all your pretty faces. See, we all worked hard to dress up this morning. As you can see, I did too. Welcome. Isn't it awesome to be in church on Easter Sunday? Let me just say welcome first if you're visiting, if somebody drug you in by your ear. We told them to do that. We told them to take advantage of Easter because you guys come on Easter. But it's my honor that if you are here for the first time, it's my honor that you're visiting with us, that you came and hang out with us. We do our best to be very intentional about what we do, to show you love, to show that you're cared for, and that it's just a good thing to serve Jesus. It's a good thing that we're not any better than anybody else. We're just maybe a little further along in the journey, but it's awesome to have you here with us this morning. You should have gotten the little Easter survey that Melanie talked about. If you hadn't filled that out, let me just say, in the most puppy dog begging face, please participate, even if you fake it. I know some of y'all students, y'all do that at school. The teacher looks at you like you're really paying attention, and you're not. That'll work, but at least participate. It's important to us that we really want to know this part of that survey and that info update. There's a message that says, I'd like to hear a message, what the Bible says about something. And the reason we do that is because I don't pretend to know everything, and I also don't pretend to have all the answers. But I do know the one that does. And so if you're struggling in maybe a part of your life, and maybe I want some help with this part of my life, this is why we do that. You'll see stuff start showing up through the year as you fill that out. Then if you flip it over to the other side, there's four boxes. Don't bother those boxes. It's like that thing that we fill out something in paperwork that says for office use only. Right now, this is office use only. I'll explain that to you a little bit more at the end. You don't have to worry about checking that out. But I just wanted to tell you, especially some of you new folks, we've got a lot of people watching online too, what you see around here and the reason that you see it. One of the things you'll see around here on the back of our signs and in the foyers and on the signs up here is this thing called One Step. One Step for us just means this. Let me ask you this question first. Who in the room is perfect? That's what I thought. If you raised your hand, there's your fault. You're no longer perfect. Nobody. And what we believe here at Believers is that we're all just have one step to take. One step from where we are, one step closer to where God wants us to be. And for you, that may be, this is my first time in church. This is my first time ever hearing about Jesus. This is my first time even being in an environment like this. That's okay. Or you may be serving God for years. We all have steps to take to get better, because we believe this, that you can, one, know God. Through what Jesus did, we celebrate on Easter Sunday, you can know God. You can find freedom, and that is you can let go of the things of the past, your hurts, your emotional wounds, your relationship wounds, the things that hold you back. Then you can discover your purpose. And then once you find that purpose, what God made you here for. We tell these people all this all the time. You were created on purpose for a purpose. Nobody's an accident. Even if you were to your mom and dad, you're not to God. And you can make a difference with your purpose. And that's all we're trying to do here, is just a group of people trying to make a difference and make an eternal difference in our community. I want to start with this scripture, and I want to give you this, because part of what we talk about here is that I'm not, if you know me very well, and so some of you new faces I'll get to know, I'm not a religious dude. I'm a relational. That's why I love what God is the only one who says, hey, come and have a relationship with me. There are a lot of even Christians who are very religious, but there's zero relationship. God says, I want nothing more than to have a relationship with you, but it had to go through my son Jesus. And the Bible says he had to send Jesus for us. Well, look what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. It says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives where? In you and in me. What happened all those years ago on this Sunday morning when the Bible says Jesus came out of the grave? It took the power of God. And that power of God, the Bible says, is dwelling with us. It goes on and says this, that just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your And I highlighted this for you back here. If you're new, a lot of times I'll highlight keywords for you. And by the way, if you want all these notes, you can go to YouVersion, Live Events, Find Believers, and get all these notes. And it says this, that he'll give life to your mortal bodies by the same spirit, capital S, the power of God that lives in you. So here's what I believe, and here's what I think a lot of us need to know this morning, is that it's not just the power in our physical bodies. I think it's the power to bring back hope that we have in our dreams, to bring life into your hopes, to bring life into anybody struggling in their mind. Like, your mind just won't shut off. There's something always negative running through your mind. To bring life into your emotions, that it's not always sad and sorrow, but it's joy, and joy abundantly is what the Bible says. That same power is in us. But there's only one catch. Excuse me. That you need to know this about Resurrection Sunday. There's one catch, and that's the thing. Jesus asked for us to do something. But you need to know that I believe that the resurrection that we talk about on Sunday is not just an event to be celebrated. It's a power to be experienced. Because a lot of us have been to church. How many of you grew up going to church, going on Sunday morning, grandma would drag you, right? Everybody make you dress up, put on those, if you got a tie on, you look great. But those stupid ties, my wife sent me with one and I left it conveniently in the office. But we've all been there. And we've all celebrated Easter. We celebrate Easter and you go, we'll go to grandma's after church today and eat too much. And then the kids will collect eggs. And that's celebrating an event. But I think today, if we can leave understanding this, that the resurrection is a power to be experienced. But Jesus asked one thing and one thing only of us. All of it's for free. He said, all you have to do is this, believe. Now, if you're new, there are a lot of people telling me, well, I can't make that step yet and become a Christian because I can't explain it or I can't understand it. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you have to understand it. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you have to be able to explain it. And it says he'll teach you and he'll show you. But understanding, I can't explain how God sent his son to the earth to die, to be resurrected again for me. I can't explain that. I can tell you what the Bible says, but I can't explain it. But look what the Bible says in John chapter 11, verse 25. It says, this is Jesus talking. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live. Even though eventually we die. The Bible said that live is talking about eternal life. And it says, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Well, now, wait a minute. You just said I was going to die. No, he said your mortal bodies are going to die. That the thing we need and the life and the power we need is the eternal life. That's the part of you. The real me is Clint, the spirit in me that will never die. But there's probably a lot of people, if we're honest, that would say to me, I'm not there yet, Clint. I just can't do this. I don't know how to make these decisions. Well, my goal today is to get you past your doubt, to get you past, I just don't know that I could do that, to get you over to believing. And in just the next 15 minutes, I'm going to tell you two stories in the Bible. The first one's in Mark chapter 9, verse 17. Jesus is talking to a crowd of people, and one guy said, one of the men in the crowd stood up and said, teacher, I brought my son to you so you could heal him, that he's possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. He goes on to tell the story that this is my son, and he's possessed, and it hurts him, it throws him in the fire, and I don't know what to do. So look what it says in the next verse. It says, so I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, and they could what? They couldn't do it. Jesus says to them, and I want you to notice, he doesn't make this singular. He doesn't say to a disciple or to a man or to the man and says, hey, you're unbelieving. But look what he says. You unbelieving generation. See, I think that's what we're facing now. If you talk to the younger generations coming up, a lot of you guys don't know what to believe because we don't know what's real. How do you know I'm real? Now, I mean, seriously, with technology and all that today, I read an interview with a great wise man, Luke Bryan. He wouldn't appreciate y'all laughing at that. But I read an interview with him where he said one of his friends sent a recording to him and said, hey, remember when you recorded this song? We never put it out. He gets the song, listens to it, says, yes, I remember a little bit about the song. That's me singing, only to find out what? It wasn't him singing. Completely computer-generated AI voice. Convinced himself that he believed it was real. See, that's the problem with us, our generations. We don't know what to believe. We don't know that we think I got to figure it out, or I've got to have it all explained. And it's just not what the Bible says. The Bible says he brought this child to Jesus. He tells Jesus the child's been this way since his birth. And I want you to notice what then the dad says to Jesus. So he's explained all this to him, and this is what he said in verse 22. He said, the spirit often throws him into the fire, the water, trying to kill him. And he says, have mercy on us. And he's talking to Jesus now, and he says, if you can't. Now, I'm telling you, if you'll read the Bible and read it with a sense of humor, I still think there's humor in the Bible. You're talking to Jesus, who's the Son of God, the one we celebrate today, his resurrection. And you look at him and say, well, if you can. Now, the Bible doesn't say this, but I really wonder if Jesus caught the little attitude. Like, if I can? Like, did you see the loaves and fishes? Did you see that dude that was in the grave that was wrapped up and been dead for days and he's back? And you want to tell me if I can? Maybe he had a little head wobble in there too. And he said, if I can? And look what Jesus says to him. What do you mean, if I can? And then he says one of the, I think, most parts of this verse that we don't pay attention to, the most powerful part that we miss. Anything is possible if a person, believe. Say it with me, if a person, believe. Does it say here, for all I can feel the pushback for some of you theologians and critiques, does it say here, if a person understands? Does it say here, if a person can understand? No, it just says believe. Now let me ask you this question. Do you believe, well, maybe not a good example lately, but do you believe that the plane you can go get on this afternoon in Savannah is going to fly? You do, or you wouldn't get on it. Now maybe the tire or door might fall off or something, but I believe that, but I can't explain it. But I have friends who are pilots and a friend who's an aircraft mechanic, and he can tell me how it works. But it doesn't make me believe it anymore. I already believe it. And see, this guy was looking at Jesus and said, I don't believe. If you can. And Jesus says, anything's possible for those who believe. And I wondered, as I thought about this week, what kills our belief? What fuels our doubt? And I'm going to give you three from this. See, the Bible says that he can do some stuff. And the problem is we do it ourselves. See, I don't think God does it the right way. I think that's what we tell ourselves. Why? Because when we pray what? And don't tell me you pray the perfect Lord's Prayer. We pray, oh, dear Jesus, I'm in trouble, help me. Right? Oh, dear Jesus, my car is dead, I need it fixed. Please, Jesus, my son is acting up. My daughter's acting up. Please give me. I need this. I need this. I need this. And then we do what? We look around. Okay, God, I prayed. Didn't you hear me pray? Didn't you hear me say that, Jesus? I prayed. You said pray, and I prayed. And we're actually saying, well, that's not how I would do it. Or maybe you're actually saying, really, God, you're not being a good job. Like, you shouldn't answer this. Because we've said to ourselves this, I've tried believing and it didn't work. You know, I've had people come up to me and say, hey, I've been here for 2 weeks. I've been to 2 services and my life is no different. Like it's my fault. Now, granted, it may not be the message in the world. We may mess up music. Lights may go bad. Something may go wrong. But what we're saying is God didn't show up when I wanted him to. And there's the old cliche that God's always on time. And it's right. He's on his time. But we think, well, that just fuels my doubt. I've tried believing, it didn't work. I brought my son and he didn't get healed. I've come to church 4, 5, 6 times. And God's not interested in me. This doesn't work for me. It's easy for Johnny over here. Johnny comes in right off the street and gets saved and suddenly his life is better. And, you know, he's the backwards country song and he gets his car back, his girl back, his kids back, and his dog, everything. You know, life is just wonderful. And I don't get any of that. Well, we're looking at other people saying, well, it worked for you, it didn't work for me. See, it's not what you think God should do it. It's not how you think God should do it. God says, I know what I'm doing. I'm going to do it the right way. The second one is that I tried believing and it didn't work. Now the third one, I hear the doubt of others. Notice again, Jesus called out the entire generation. He didn't just point out one person and say, hey, it's you, that's you that don't believe. He says the whole generation. And what I think is that we struggle with because we can hear the doubt of others. Because you can come today, and I promise you, I pray this happens. I pray somebody meets Jesus today for the first time. But I can tell you this, when you walk out those doors, there's going to be somebody telling you, well, you didn't really get saved. You didn't really mean that. You're really no different. And then they put their doubt on you. And it's just not how it works. They want to argue with you. Years ago, I was teaching a college ministry. And probably about this many people, but all college kids. And I preached the message. I don't even remember what I was talking about. But it had something to do with the things that God does for us. And there was this guy sitting about there. We'll just say Jeremy. And I just noticed he had this look on his face. At every point I would make, the Bible says Jesus came to set you free. He just furrowed brow and mean in his face. And he stared me down. Like he didn't blink. After the service, he stood up. He walked to the front. And he said, I'm here to set you straight. I literally did this. Like, do what? He said, I'm here to set you straight. I was like, well, I didn't know I was crooked. And he began to tell me and how I was wrong, that God really didn't do anything. And then he said, now you convince me that I'm wrong. And I think he was waiting on me just to unload on him, just to knock him out. Not physically, although I wanted to, but just to tell him the Bible and let him have it. And I said, you know what, bro? I said, I'm not going to do that. I said, because if I can convince you, then the next person that comes along can unconvince you. If I can argue you to, then somebody else can argue you from. And I said to him, the truth is, I saved it and put it on the screen for you. The truth is, you don't need an explanation, God. You need an encounter with God. The truth of the matter for all of us is, even if I explain to you, even if my friend, I don't know where Buddy is, he's a pilot, and explain to me, Buddy or Hank, this is how the plane works. It doesn't make me believe anymore. But if you get in the plane, and they say, there's a drill they do with a new pilot, and it's called attitude recovery. And it does not mean your child is misbehaved, they get their act straight. It means they close your eyes, they turn the plane upside down, and they say, fix it. That is attitude recovery. You see, the problem is, he can explain it to me all he wants, but until I encounter attitude recovery, until I put you in it's like getting inside of a dishwasher and then just turn it on. You encounter something real. And that's what we need. We need to encounter God. We need to encounter him close. And this guy wanted me to explain it to him. So I told him, I said, listen, if you'll just stop what you're doing and come back. Come back every Sunday, sit on that row and just keep sitting until you encounter God. And then we're going to do, like at the end of service today. And then when you feel like you've encountered him, I'm telling you what's going to happen. You're going to raise your hand. It's like, I need to experience this. Like, I need to give my life. And he did. He came and sat and sat and sat and sat and sat. And I thought, dear God, I must be a terrible preacher because I was giving it to him every Sunday, like right at you. Like, yeah, you need it. And finally one Sunday, he just, why? Was it because I explained it? No, it was because he encountered God. And that's what I believe we need. We don't need the explanation. We need an experience beyond just knowledge and an encounter with a real God. You know, there's a story in the Bible, the Sega story of a guy who did something one time. We think being canceled and all was now. No, it was in the Bible. There's a guy, anybody heard of Thomas? What's he known as? Doubting Thomas. The brother messed up one time. And he's now an idiom that we use all the way. If somebody's really doesn't believe you, or you know, what do you call them? They're a doubting Thomas. He got canceled way back then and did it one time. But Thomas was one of the disciples, and the disciples begin to tell Thomas, hey, Jesus just showed up. So the Bible says Jesus came to the earth, was raised from the dead. And when he was raised, they buried him. And all the disciples kind of freaked out and ran around and ran apart. And then when they realized he was gone, they didn't know where he was. He appears to the disciples. But the only problem was Thomas wasn't there. Now, can you imagine? You're in the club. You're one of the dudes. And you come back from like, I just went to get a latte and come back. And y'all said, you saw Jesus. And Thomas was not happy about it. And so when Thomas comes back, he said, listen, we saw him, but I want you to see what Thomas said. This is in John chapter 20, verse 25. Thomas replied, I'm not going to believe, there's the word, until I see the nail wounds in his hands and put my fingers into them. Not even enough that I see it, I want to touch it. And I'm going to place my hand into the wound on his side. Here's what you need to know. 8 days later. Now get this before I show you the scripture. 8 days later. Some say 7 days if you want to get particular. All the disciples are now in the room. The door is locked. Now tell me this wouldn't be cool. And all of a sudden, Jesus is like, what's up? The door's locked. So they know the door was locked. They know it's Jesus because he physically couldn't get in the room. And he did that, if you read through the Bible, after the resurrection of Jesus, he did that all the time. Again, I think there's humor in the Bible. How many of you would do that if you could? You hear your kids in the other room? Emma does this and drives me nuts. We'll send her to a room. Hey, you need to go in there and sit, get your attitude straight, and just chill for a minute. But she doesn't really think that I can hear. And she's in there having a conversation with me without me and being in the room. But she's winning the conversation. And as soon as you open the door, you shut the door, and she goes right back at it. How cool would it be able to just go and show up? See, this is what Jesus was doing. And so Thomas said, listen, I want to believe, but I've got this doubt because, Jesus, I wanted to see you, and I miss you. You ever wonder if Thomas blamed himself? Like, I love Little Dippers, but I went to Little Dippers and got me that stupid giant blue and orange drink that cost me $14, right? Y'all are laughing because you get them. I go and get my coffee, and y'all are walking out there with, like, Slurpees. And I laugh. I tell Grace, the lady owns it, I say, it's funny that, like, y'all buy some huge drinks. And we had a conversation about, I think if you got some of those giant, we had them in college. It's a place called QT. They had them in Atlanta. They make like these barrels with a handle. And people are filling them up. I think we would all do that. But believing Thomas said, I just went over to get me a Slurpee and came back. And I miss Jesus. And Jesus shows up. And Thomas is about to have an encounter with God. Even though he knew all about him, he was there and watched Jesus do all this stuff. But I want you to look what this says. This is verse 27. He says, Jesus shows up. He says, Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. See, what did he do? Thomas had to do something. He had to move. He had to move forward. He had to believe. He said, God, okay, well, and I'm telling you, I think that's what God's asking us to do this morning. I think it's our one step. Like, Clint, you've been standing in that one step, at one place for long enough. You've been struggling with these issues long enough. You've been dealing with this long enough. Your marriage has been bad long enough. This addiction has been bad long enough. You've been struggling with this long enough. And he says, don't be faithless any longer. Believe. And I think Thomas had to go and then reach out and touch. And I'm telling you, that's what we have to be able to make that one step, because look what happens in the next verse. We don't appreciate what this means and the time they would have. Then Thomas exclaimed this, my Lord and my King. The my Lord is not, see, we hear it. I had a friend of mine growing up. We were best friends growing up. It was a black guy growing up. And he had his mama. And his mama was the stereotypical big black lady. And Miss Debbie would all the time go, my Lord. If we did, we played ball together and we do well, and you'd hear Miss Debbie, my Lord. That's not the my Lord we're talking about. This my Lord is, God, I just gave you everything. I give you my whole life. I'm going to follow you because you're in charge. The my God is, I just gave you my life, but you created me. The Bible says of us that he created us inside and out. He knows us inside and out. He created you. So how do we move from doubt to believing? I'll give you this in 5 minutes and we'll be out of here. The first thing is, for those of you who are struggling and you think God's not looking for you, you need to know this. You need to understand Jesus will continually search for you. The Bible says, King David writes this in the Old Testament. He says, if I go to the bottom of hell, you're right there with me. If I go to the highest heights of heaven, you're there with me. Well, you don't understand. I doubt Jesus. Can he even help me? Here's the next thing. Doubts don't keep Jesus away. Thomas did what? Thomas doubted. If ever there was proof that your doubts do not keep Jesus away, Thomas was it. He looked right at all the guys who had just seen Jesus and said, well, I'm not believing. I refuse to believe. Then John 20:27 was the verse. And he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands. And then he said this again, reach out. That's a physical move. He had to do something. Put it into my side, stop doubting, and believe. You see, Jesus understood the struggle. He experienced life as a man. He knew what it was like to be disappointed. He knew what it was like to have somebody stab him in the back. When they arrested Jesus, where did all the disciples go? He told Peter, he said, before the sun comes up, you're going to hear a rooster and you're going to have denied me three times. Do you think every time Peter heard the rooster after that, he was reminded of his doubt, reminded of how he turned his back on the Savior? He struggled with believing. That his doubt, though, did not keep Jesus away. But again, remember what he said to Jesus, what Jesus said to Thomas. He said, reach out. Team, you guys can go ahead and do your thing. He told him to reach out. Because the second one is, it's one step to discover who Jesus is. It's not 15 steps. It's not 30 steps. There is, you know, that people make it seem like there's this path you got to go. And there is a path that you need to make progress. But it's one step to discover Jesus. It's not this, I think we as a church mess this up. Because the truth of the matter is, belief won't come to you. You have to go to it. What do you mean by that? I believe we got it all wrong. And if you've been in a church like this, not this, our church, but a church that does what I'm about to tell you, then I'm sorry. Because there are churches that will teach you, you got to get your life right before you can come to Jesus. You got to stop doing this, this, and this, and then you can believe. You got to get your act together, then you can believe. You got to get your world straight, then you can believe. That is hogwash. I tell our people, if you're regular here, I say this all the time. If you want to get me upset, I don't much. But if you want to get me upset, let me find people from here telling people out there they've got to stop something before they can come in here. Because I don't care how you come. All we ask is that you be moderately dressed. Put some clothes on. Other than that, bring it with you. Bring everything with you. Bring your mess. Bring the mess of life. Because all I'm going to ask you to do is believe. And once you believe, then God will start working on you. I don't have to fix you. I'm not your Savior. I'm just the one who's trying to help point you toward it. That belief won't just come to you. You have to go to it. And remember what Thomas said to Jesus. 20, verse 28. He said, my Lord and my God. Because here's the thing. We'll close with this. So you have to give your life to the one who gave his life for you. This is not about joining a church. If you're visiting today and you say, hey, I need Jesus. You're not joining our church. You're joining the church big. This is not about you becoming part of believers, although we'd love to have you. This is about you saying, my Lord and my God. I'm not in control. You are. It's not my life. It's yours. Because believing, we've got it wrong. Believing is this. Believing isn't in something. Believing is on someone. You can believe on a lot of stuff, but I believe on someone. The Bible is very clear that there's one way by which man can be saved. It's the resurrection of Jesus that we celebrate today. Now, normally, while I'll have you bow your heads and close your eyes, Melanie told you we'll do things a little different here on Easter, and we do our survey, and we do all that because that's when you all show up so we can get the best sample. And I told some of you last week about an opportunity you would have to peek. Your opportunity's coming, all right? If you'll grab the little square sheet. And again, I'm going to ask everybody to do this. Dream Teamers, sound booth, outside in the foyer. Again, if you have to fake, there's pins on the front. If you guys are in the front, you can reach over the back and get a pin. I'm going to ask everybody to do this. Just humor me. Because I think it's time that we go from doubt to belief. And here's how we do that. You have to make a decision today. On the back are those four boxes. The first box is A. I already know God. I'm in a relationship with Him. I've given Him my life. I've already, like Thomas said, my Lord and my King. It's real to me. I have a real relationship with God. Then there's box B that says, I'm beginning a real relationship with God today. And maybe this is you. You said, I was with God, but I walked away. I'm back now, and I really need to get my life right. You can check B as well. Then there's C. And let me just tell you up front, all you A and B people, I love you. But the people I really love are my C and Ds. Mainly because I was not an A or B student. But never mind. C is I want to consider it more first. Okay, I hear you. Not there yet, but I'm not leaving. Sit as long as you want. Come as many Sundays as you want. Just like the dude that was sitting back there, come as long as you want. I'm not asking you to serve. You don't hear many preachers say this, but I'm not even asking you to get money. I just want you to come. You just keep coming until that, like the dude did that day right back there. He just had an encounter with God. He's like, I need Jesus. Then there's D. These are the people I respect. If you've got the, to, I can't say what I'm thinking. To say this and check this box, mark it. I love this. But I'll tell you this, and I promise you this, and I'll look all of you in the eyes and tell you this. There'll be a bunch of people praying, because every year we have a bunch of D's, and the next year they'll come back and they'll, hey, I'm a C this year. I've had people come in the door before, like June, July. Hey, remember me? I was here in Easter. I was a D. Now I'm an A. We're going to keep praying for you. You come and sit as long as you like. So again, I'll put them up on the screen for you one more time. A, I already know God. B, I'm beginning a real relationship. C, I want to consider it more. And D, I don't ever intend on making that decision. Now what I'd like to ask you to do is, in just a minute, we're going to sing one more song, close out our Easter service. After service, as the song plays, you got two jobs. Again, I'm asking everybody to participate. The first is mark a box. The second is when you're done, when the music starts, just stand up and worship with us. If you need to sit there the whole song, sit there the whole song. All I'm asking you to do is once you check a box, even if it's D, just proudly stand up. Then during that last song, over to my right, your left, if you're new, we always have people over here to pray for you. I think Pastor Bob and Tammy are over there today. And if you just need somebody to grab a hold of your hand and say, I'm struggling, I need help, that's what we're here for. We'll stay as long as it takes. So again, you're going to check a box, then you're going to stand up. And on the way out, they'll put all this in the offering buckets on the way out, and the ushers will take care of it. Before we get to that, I'm going to pray, then the music will start, and once you guys check a box, you can stand up. Once you bow your heads, close your eyes. God, I thank you that all the decisions being made all over this room and online, God, that there are people who are taking one step closer. They're doing what you said to Thomas, and they're reaching out, touching you. They're reaching out, experiencing the power of God. That it goes beyond an explanation, goes to an experience. God, I thank you for all those people who know you. God, excited about all those people who are going to meet you today. And God, even more excited about the C's and the D's, who your own word says you're never going to stop pursuing them. We're never going to stop praying for them. Why? Because they matter to you. And God, we thank you for it now. God, we bless our time as we leave today to celebrate what you've done through us through the resurrection of your Son. Thank you today that lives change forever. And God, we thank you for it now. Come and have your way. Power and might and strength in our lives. We thank you for it now.